We present Leave It to Smith by...
That's right, the Piers Silent.
I know, as in Thysis, psychic.
And Ptarmigan, good, spelt P-S-M-I-T-H.
Yes, Smith.
That's it.
Thank you. We present Leave It to Smith by P.G. Woodhouse.
Don't ever do it.
By P.G. Woodhouse, dramatised by Archie Scottney. Starring Susanna Fielding, George Blagden, Patricia Hodge, Lisa Dillon, Lloyd Owen, Joe Bannister, Kieran Hodgson, Lucy Phelps and Nigel Anthony, with Martin Jarvis as Lord Emsworth and Edward Bennett as... Smith.
Got it.
Episode 2, Imposters at Blandings.
You can keep on rowing.
Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Halliday, but you appear to be brooding about something. What's the matter?
I have just found out your name, Mr. McTodd. It was a great shock to me.
No, you don't think it has a sort of wild romantic ring?
Mr. McTodd, I was at school with Cynthia.
With Cynthia? Indeed, Cynthia...
Don't pretend. Whatever your feelings now, you must have been fond of poor Cynthia at one time, or I don't see why you should have married her. I wish you would tell me what the trouble was.
Trouble?
I'm devoted to Cynthia. And I thought I liked you. The friend who told me about you leaving Cynthia made it seem as if the whole fault had been yours. That you had been very unkind to Cynthia. And when Lord Emsworth told me that you were Mr. McTodd, my first impulse was to hate you. Then I remembered how nice you had been to me in London. Lending me that umbrella and meeting me here at the station. And it occurred to me there might be some explanation. I thought perhaps I could do something to help. Try to bring you together. Are you offended?
That would be impossible. I appreciate your interest in my troubles, but Cynthia is... Cynthia and I are divorced.
Divorced? But it's only a few days since you and she were in London together.
Oh, I use the term in a spiritual rather than a legal sense. True, there's been no actual decree, but we are separated beyond hope of reunion. Love, Miss Halliday, is a delicate plant. It needs tending, nursing. This cannot be done by throwing the breakfast bacon at a husband's head.
What?
In the dish.
Cynthia did that?
Her temper in the mornings was terrible. I've known her lift the cat over two chairs and a settee with a single kick. And all because there were no mushrooms.
But I can't believe it.
Come over to Canada and I will show you the cat.
Cynthia? Why, she was always the gentlest little creature.
At school, you mean?
Yes.
That would, I suppose, be before she had taken to drink.
Taken to drink?
From the moment when she installed a private still, her downfall was swift. I have seen her, under the influence of homebrew, rage through the house like a devastating cyclone. I hate speaking like this of one who was your friend. The world, of course, supposes that the entire blame was mine. The opinion of the world matters little to me. But with you it is different, Miss Halliday. I do not make friends easily. I'm a lonely man. But somehow it has seemed to me that you and I might be friends.
Why, of course. Take my hand.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, I have suffered. But if you will be my friend, I think I may forget.
Oh, McTodd. Oh.
At any other time, Threepwood, I shall be delighted to listen to your farmyard imitations, but not now. I am in a beautiful reverie and your presence jars upon me profoundly.
Don't talk so much. I never met a fellow like you for talking. I say, the game's up.
I fail to understand you. The last time we conversed, you informed me that Susan, the housemaid, merely giggled when you embraced her. In other words, she is not a detective. What has happened since?
Oh, Baxter. He's seen through the whole damn necklace scheme practically from the moment you got here. He says he and I ought to be prepared to tackle you if you started anything.
I see. I'd been flattering myself. I put the little deception over with complete success.
Well, in the first place, Dashit, that damn fellow McTodd, the real one, you know, sent a telegram saying that he wasn't coming. So it seemed rummy to Baxter when you blew in all merry and bright.
So that's what they meant by saying they were glad I had come after all.
And then you went and wrote in the PV female's autograph book.
Was that a false move?
The biggest bloomer on record. Apparently Baxter had skewered McTodd's original letter, accepting the invitation to come here. And he compared the handwriting with what you wrote in the Peavy's album, and of course they weren't a bit alike.
Does he suspect why I've come to the castle?
Suspect? The first thing he said was that you must have come to sneak Aunt Connie's necklace. Then he said he was pretty sure you'd wait till your accomplice arrived. And damn him, do you know who he's got the infernal gall to think is your accomplice? Miss Halliday! If I were you, I'd leg it now and have your luggage sent on after you.
Frederick Threepwood. You suggest a cowardly and weak-minded action. No. My purpose remains firm. I am rendered, if possible, warier and more snake-like than ever.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you sitting there. It's quite dark in here after outside.
The light is pleasantly dim. Can I help you?
Is Lord Amsworth anywhere around?
I fear not. He has legged it, accompanied by most of the household, to superintend the unveiling of a memorial at Bridgeford. Anything I can do?
Well, I've come to stay, you know.
Indeed.
Lady Constance invited me to pay a visit as soon as I reached England.
Ah, then you have come from foreign parts.
Canada.
Canada?
I wired, but I suppose it came after everybody had left. this must be my telegram on the table. I walked up from the station. Oh, and this book. One of my little things.
One of what?
Songs of Squalor. I wrote it.
You wrote it?
Yes. My name's McTodd. Ralston McTodd. I expect you've heard them speak of me.
Possibly. I'll take that telegram, by the way. You say that you are Ralston McTodd, author of these poems.
Yes, I do.
Then what is a pale parabola of joy?
Pardon me?
And here's another. Yes. The sibilant scented silence that shimmered where we sat. Could you oblige?
What are you talking about?
It's lucky you met me before you had to face the others. They would have detected your imposture in the first minute.
What do you mean, imposture?
My dear friend, I may as well tell you at once that the genuine McTodd is an old and dear friend of mine, so that, I think, we may confidently assert is that.
Oh, hell. Well, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. What's your name?
Coots.
Well, Coots, you are free to leg it hence. In fact, the sooner you do, the better. I shall be pleased.
Say, that's darn good of you. You're an ace.
Not at all. But tell me, was your object in coming here to have a pop at Lady Constance's necklace?
Yes.
And what made you suppose that the real McTodd would not be here when you arrived?
Well, I travelled over with that guy McTodd on the boat. He was full of how he'd been invited here. And then the other afternoon, I met him in the Strand, all worked up, madder than a hornet. Said he'd been insulted and wouldn't come down to this place if they begged him on bended knees. Apparently Lord Emsworth hadn't treated him right. He told me he was going straight off to Paris.
And did he?
Sure, I saw him off myself. That's why it seemed such a cinch coming here instead of him. Just my darned luck that the first man I run into is a friend of his. He told me he'd never been in England before.
Mr. Coots, I hope that you will lay this lesson to heart and profit by it. But talking of starting on roads, I think you should have a dash at the one leading to the railway station. The household may be returning at any moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Once outside the castle precincts, a great weight will roll off your mind. You know your way out. Off you go.
Eddie? Well, for goodness sake!
Liz? Is that you?
Gee, if this ain't the cat's whiskers. Wherever did you spring from, Ed?
Hey!
Can it really be you, Eddie Coots?
Hey!
Ed? I couldn't have believed it was you this far from the ocean. Aren't you working the boats anymore?
No, Liz. I've had to give that up. Guy bit off my forefinger. See?
Oh, Ed.
Couldn't seem to make the cards behave no more.
You poor boy.
Tough. But what are you doing now, Liz?
Me? Oh, I'm living near here.
Not married?
No. As if I could ever forget you, Eddie.
But when we saw each other last, you were a mite peeved with your Eddie.
Oh, shucks. I'd forgotten all about that next day.
So what gives? You retired?
No, sir. I'm sitting in at a game with real worthwhile stakes. I'm Aileen Peavy, English poetess for the duration. Oh, but darn it. It's too big for me to put through alone. Yo, Eddie, if only you and me could work it together like the old days.
What is it?
Diamonds, Eddie. A necklace. I've only had one look at it so far, but that was enough. Best ice I saw in years. Worth every cent of 100,000 berries.
A necklace?
Here's the lowdown, Ed. And say, if you knew the relief it was to me talking good United States again. So, after you and me had that little spat of ours, I thought I'd take another trip in the old Atlantic. Anyway, we weren't 2 days out from New York when I made the biggest kind of a hit with the dame this necklace belongs to. Seems to take a shine to me right away.
I don't blame her.
This here now, Lady Constance Keeble.
What? Constance Keeble?
Yeah. She's Lord Emsworth's sister, who lives in the big place up the road. Blanding's Castle, it's called. I'm visiting at the castle now.
Well, you know what I've been doing this afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Only trying to wedge into the darn place myself and get in the air 2 minutes after I was past the front door.
What? You, Ed?
Sure. You're not the only one that's heard of that collection of ice. Listen, I thought I got it smooth. So that's it. And from what you tell me, Liz, this must be the very guy that's passing himself off as McTodd. Found McTodd wasn't coming to the castle and came down instead of him, same as me. Only he got there first.
The big stiff. I knew there was something not on the level about that guy. Gee, he must be after that necklace, too.
Sure he's after the necklace. What do you think he come down for? A change of air?
But, Ed, what are you gonna do?
Do? I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. Say, what the hell am I gonna do? Well, I...
Cheese it. I got a plan. Still got your revolver ready?
What do you think, Liz?
We'll stick him up on a stroll and blackmail him.
Blackmail?
Sure. So he gets you into the castle.
I'm sorry, Beach. I find I am reluctantly forced to trouble you.
Not at all, sir.
My man, Coots, my valet, you know. He's waiting in the hall, having just arrived. I had to leave him behind to attend the bedside of a sick aunt. Will you look after him, Beach?
Certainly, sir.
Oh, and Beach, you might ask him if he brought my revolver from town with him?
Of course, sir.
I think I saw it sticking out of his pocket. Bring it to me, will you?
Very good, sir.
Hey, you! Backstab your blackmailer, would you?
It was the only way I could think of under duress to get you in. Don't you like being a valet?
No, I don't. If one thing makes me tired, it's a guy that talks about his stomach all the time.
I beg your pardon?
The beach gook has got something wrong with the lining of his stomach, and if I hadn't made my getaway, he'd be talking about it yet.
Am I to take it, then, that you came snorting up here merely to seek my sympathy?
I came to tell you, I suppose you think you're darn smart.
A pretty compliment, for which I'm not ungrateful.
You got that gun away from me mighty smoothly, didn't you?
Since you mention it, yes.
And now I guess you think you're gonna slip in ahead of me and get away with that necklace. Well, let me tell you, it'll take someone better than a half-baked string bean like you to put one over on me.
I seem to detect a certain animus creeping into your tone.
Even if you get it, where are you gonna hide it? I'm your valet, ain't I? I can come in here and be tidying up whenever I darn please. And if ever that necklace disappears and it isn't me that's done the disappearing, you'll find me tidying up in a way that'll make you dizzy. So chew on that, will ya?
Ah, Beach, I must apologize once more for troubling you.
No trouble at all, sir. But I fear your personal attendant is not immediately available. He left me somewhat abruptly a few moments ago.
Never mind. It was you I wished to see, Beach. I'm concerned about you. I learn from my man that the lining of your stomach is not all it should be.
That is true, sir. I do have trouble with the lining of my stomach.
Every stomach has a silver lining.
Sir?
Tell me all about it.
Extremely kind of you to take an interest, sir. It generally starts with a dull shooting pain on the right side of the abdomen, from 20 minutes to half an hour after the conclusion of a meal. The symptoms...
Parks pepsinine.
Sir?
That's what you want. Parks pepsinine. Set you right in no time.
I will make a note of the name, sir. The specific has not come to my notice until now. and I should like to express my gratitude for your kindness.
Not at all, Beach. Oh, I've just remembered there was something else.
Yes, sir?
The fact is, Beach, I'm feeling cramped.
Indeed, sir. I forgot to mention that one of the symptoms from which I suffer is a sharp cramp.
Too bad, but when I say I'm feeling cramped, I mean spiritually. Have you ever written poetry, Beach?
No, sir.
Ah, well, my trouble is this. You remember that passage in my Songs of Squalor, which begins, "Across the pale parabola of joy"?
Oh, I fear, sir.
You missed it. Tough luck. Well, that passage was written in a lonely hut on the banks of the Saskatchewan, miles away from human habitation. I'm like that, Beach. I need the stimulus of the great open spaces. When I'm surrounded by my fellows, inspiration slackens and dies. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
I have to get a place where I can be alone, Beach, alone with my dreams and visions. Some little eyrie perched on the cliffs of time. In other words, do you know of an empty cottage somewhere on the estate where I could swing a nib without being interrupted?
A cottage, huh?
A little cottage, where I can turn the key in the door and bid the world go by. Now that the castle is going to be full of all these people who are coming for the county ball, it is imperative that I wangle such a haven. Otherwise, a considerable slab of priceless poetry will be lost to humanity forever.
You desire a small cottage where you can write poetry, sir?
You follow me like a leopard. Do you know of such a one?
There is an unoccupied gamekeeper's cottage in the West Wood, sir.
It will do for me. Do you think Lady Constance would be offended if I were to ask for the loan of it for a few days?
I fancy that her ladyship would receive the request with equanimity, sir.
Admirable.
Hey, anyone about?
What? Eddie, you dish-faced gazoony. Where'd you get that stuff hiding in trees?
Sorry, Liz. The guy did get me into the house. I'm his valet. That's why I couldn't get at you before.
All right. Keep out of sight. This is good, Ed. I got a scheme all doped out, and now we can get busy. It's a pippin.
It'll need to be. I tell you, that McTodd gook is smooth. He's got himself a kind of shack in the woods.
Well, let him go roost all he wants. I got a scheme, and it's gilt-edged.
Am I in it?
You bet you're in it.
Spill it, Liz.
Well, listen. Now, the house is full. Her Nibs is wearing that necklace every night. And, Ed, you want to put on your smoke glasses before you look at it. It's a Lollapalooza.
As good as that.
You don't know the half of it.
You find out where she keeps it, Liz?
No, I haven't. And anyway, I believe in getting things easy. Tonight, this bimbo that calls himself McTodd is going to give a reading of his poems in the big drawing room. You begin to get wise?
Well,
I'm going to sit behind Lady Constance while that goof is shooting his fool head off, and I'm going to reach out and grab that necklace off of her. See?
Yeah, but Liz, if you start any strong-arm work in front of everybody, won't they...
No, they won't, and I'll tell you why. They aren't going to see me do it, because when I do it, it's going to be good and dark in that room. And why's it going to be dark?
I don't know, Liz.
It's gonna be dark, lame brain, because you'll be somewheres out at the back of the house, wherever they keep the main electric light works, turning the switch as hard as you can go, see? That's your end of it. All you have to do is find out where the thing is and what you have to do to it to put out all the lights in the joint. I guess I can trust you not to bungle that.
Liz, you can do just that little thing. But what happens...
All right, I know. What happens after that and how do I get away with the stuff? Well... The window will be open, and I'll just get to it and fling the necklace out. See? There'll be a big fuss going on in the room on account of the darkness and all that. Mm. And while everybody's cutting up and what the hellin', you'll run round as quick as you can make it and pouch the thing. It won't be hard for you to locate it. The window's right over the terrace. You'll have plenty of time to hunt around before they can get the lights going again. What do you think? Is it or is it not a ball of fire?
Liz, old girl, when it comes to the smooth stuff... You're the oyster's eye tooth.
I love you, Ed.
I say, Miss Halliday, lovely afternoon. On your way somewhere?
Yes, Freddy. Mr. Baxter's given me some time off. I must be hurrying.
Where are you going?
Market Blandings. I'm meeting a friend. I had a letter asking me to meet her there.
Yeah, I'll come with you.
No, I want to be alone.
I say, I do think you might marry a chap.
I suppose I shall someday, if I meet the right one.
No. I love you, dash it.
Well, don't. I'd make you miserable.
Happiest man in the world.
Freddy, apart from the fact that I don't want to marry you, how can you marry anyone? Anyone, I mean, who hasn't plenty of money?
Wouldn't dream of marrying for money. Cupid pines and sickens in a gilded cage.
What?
Subtitle, In Love or Mammon. I made a note of it.
You can't possibly marry a girl without money unless you've some money of your own.
I say, dash it. Is that really all that stands between us? Because...
No, it isn't.
Because, look here, I'm going to have quite a good deal of money at any moment. It's more or less a deadish secret, you know. But Uncle Joe is going to give me a couple of thousand quid. He promised me. Absolutely.
Uncle Joe?
You know, old Keeble. He's going to give me a couple of thousand quid, and I'm going to buy a partnership in a bookies business and simply coin money. Stands to reason. You can't help making a bally fortune.
Mr. Keeble is going to give you £2,000. Mr. Keeble?
Absolutely.
But I thought... Did you simply go to him and ask him for it?
Well, yes. That was about the strength of it.
And he didn't object?
No. He seemed rather pleased. So, will you...
What?
Marry me, you know. What I mean to say is, I worship the ground you walk on and all that sort of rot. I mean, and all that. And now that you've realised that I'm going to get this couple of thousand...
Freddy, go away.
Eh?
Will you please leave me alone? I'm sorry, but really I can't marry you. And anyway, you don't want to marry a girl who doesn't love you, do you?
Yes, I do. If it's you, I mean. Love is a tiny seed that coldness can wither, but if tendered and nurtured in the fostering warmth of an honest heart, it blossoms into a flower.
Nonsense.
Well, that's the way it happened in a society mating.
Freddy, will you just go away? I've got a lot of thinking to do.
Thinking? Ah, righto.
Oh, Miss Halliday. I beg your pardon, I was thinking.
Ah, Mr. Keeble. I was thinking, too. The very man. It's important you spare me a moment or two. I'm meeting a friend, but I have ample time.
Well...
I want to talk to you about Phyllis.
Phyllis?
Your stepdaughter, yes.
Do you know her?
She was my best friend at school. I had tea with her just before I came to the castle.
Extraordinary.
Mr. Keeble, Phyllis told me she had written to you about buying that farm. And you won't help her. Why not?
I want to help her. I want to.
Then why don't you?
I'm curiously situated.
Yes. Phyllis told me about Lady Constance and the purse strings. But, Mr. Keeble, if you can manage to give Freddy Threepwood £2,000 to start a bookmaker's business, surely...
What? You know? He told you?
Yes.
Gosh. You haven't told anyone.
Oh, of course not. Why should I?
Oh, you're wonderful.
What do you mean?
Of course, it isn't really stealing. I shall buy my wife another necklace.
You'll...
Yes. Constance will be perfectly happy, and Phyllis and Jackson will have their money,
but
and...
I'm sorry.
You don't know?
No? No what?
Nothing. No. I must be going.
Mr. Keeble, I don't know what you mean, but do trust me. I'm Phyllis's best friend, and if you thought out a way of helping her, you must tell me. I might be able to help.
You? Oh, yes. An ally. Worth 1,000 Freddies. Not that that's saying much. I believe you can help me. Right. This is the plan.
Halliday, a pleasant night. Oh, go. My apologies. Flower pot parked on the fairway.
Yes.
Well, the stars, bright, twinkling, rather neatly arranged. I believe the wiggly thing up there a little to the right is King Charles's Wain.
Yes?
Indeed, I assure you. I hear you went to Market Blandings this afternoon.
Yes.
An attractive settlement?
Yes.
Are you coming in to hear me read?
No.
Ah, a change from yes, but I suppose that's the best that can be said of it. Of course, you show your usual sterling good sense. I went to Market Blandings this afternoon, too. I couldn't find
Shall
you.
Shall I tell you why I went to Market Blandings?
Do, please. I've been monopolising the conversation.
I went to meet Cynthia.
Cynthia?
Yes, Cynthia. Your wife.
Ah, yes.
Directly after we had that talk on the lake, I wrote to Cynthia, telling her to come here at once and meet me at the Emsworth Arms.
In the High Street. I know it. Good beer.
Second post today, I got a letter from her saying that she would be there this afternoon. So I hurried off. I wanted to try to bring you two back together. I thought if I could have a talk with her, you might become reconciled.
An act worthy of your great heart, but I fear the rift between Cynthia and myself has reached such dimensions.
I saw Cynthia, and she told me that her husband was in Paris.
In Paris? How in the world does she get an idea like that?
I'll tell you. She got the idea because she'd had a message from him begging her to join him there. She had just finished telling me this when I caught sight of you from the inn window, walking along the High Street. I pointed you out to Cynthia, and she said she had never seen you before in her life.
Women soon forget.
The only excuse I can find for you is that you are mad. When I think of all you said to me about poor Cynthia, all the sympathy I wasted on you...
Not wasted. It made me love you, if possible, even more.
What?
Womanly intuition will have told you that I love you with a fervour which, with my poor vocabulary, I cannot hope to express. True. We have known each other but a short time, but...
Are you really choosing this moment to propose to me?
To employ a favourite word of your own, yes.
And you expect me to take you seriously?
No. I simply wish to go on record as an aspirant to your hand. I want you to make a note of my words and give them a thought from time to time. Then, gradually, as the days go by and we are constantly together, and my nature unfolds itself before you like the petals of some timid flower beneath the rays of the sun...
What?! You surely aren't dreaming of staying on here now.
Why not?
But what's to prevent me telling everybody that you are not Mr. McTodd?
Your generous nature, your big heart, your angelic forbearance.
Oh!
Look, I only took on the job of McTodd's understudy so as to get to the castle and be near you. It was only after I'd seen you talking to Lord Emsworth in the street and he revealed that you were about to enjoy his hospitality that I made up my mind. Twice that day you had passed out of my life. I began to fear you might pass out of it forever, so here I am.
You must be mad.
I may add that I've loved you since the moment I saw you sheltering from the rain. I do not press you for an answer now.
I should hope not.
I merely say, think it over. Reflect that I may be in a quiet taste. You probably didn't like olives the first time you tasted them. Now you probably do. Give me the same chance you would an olive. All you have against me is the fact that I'm not Ralston McTodd. Well, think how comparatively few people are Ralston McTodd. Think that... Ah, good evening, Baxter.
Everybody is waiting, Mr. McTodd.
Of course. I was forgetting. I will get to work at once. You're quite sure you don't wish to hear a scuttle full of modern poetry, Miss Halliday?
Quite sure. I shall feel more comfortable out here on the terrace.
Well, it is these strange clashings of personal taste which constitute what we call life. I may write a poem about it someday. Come, Baxter. I must not disappoint my public. Thank you, thank you. And good evening. It gives me a distinct pleasure to read to you from my new collection. Curvature flexure, horseshoe, camber of light, amber contour ellipsing from the sight, festooning half moon, hairpin maple leaf dollar, destitute dolorous cry, my sinuous song of squalor.
Oh, no, sorry,
I can't actually sit. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the lights have gone out.
My jewels! They've been taken! My necklace!
What? What's this? Some sort of miracle. A necklace! What to do? Lights may go on any minute. Flower pot, yes. There. Buried. Somebody's coming. Retrieve tomorrow, yes. I can help Joe Keeble. I can help Phyllis after all.
You wish to see me, Mr. Baxter?
What? Oh, good evening, Susan. Miss Simmons. Thank God the lights are back on. You came in very quietly.
Habit. I'm sorry. What was it you wished to see me about?
Shut that door.
I have. I always shut doors.
Please sit down.
No, thank you, Mr. Baxter. It might look odd if anyone should come in.
You think of everything.
I always do.
Miss Simmons, when I thought it expedient to install a private detective, I looked on your presence here as housemaid merely as a precautionary
measure. Did someone steal Lady Constance's necklace tonight when the lights went out?
Yes.
Well, why couldn't you say so at once?
The light suddenly went out. There was a certain amount of confusion, then a piercing shriek.
I heard it.
And Lady Constance's voice crying that her jewels had been snatched from her neck.
Then what happened?
Eventually the lights went on again, but of the necklace there was no sign whatever.
Well, we expecting the thief to wear it as a watch chain or hang it from his teeth.
Naturally, the doors were barred and a complete search instituted. With the single exception of the scoundrel who has been palming himself off as McTodd, all those present were well-known members of society.
But with the McTodd fellow there, you oughtn't to have had far to look.
He was among the first to empty his pockets. It's baffling.
It's nothing of the kind. I'd be inclined to call it a three-man job. One to switch off the lights, one to snatch the necklace, and one to... Was that window open all the time?
I presume so.
And one to pick up the necklace when the second fellow threw it out onto the terrace.
Terrace?
Thought of something.
Miss Simmons, everybody was assembled in here waiting for the reading to begin, except the pseudo McTodd. I discovered him eventually on the terrace with the Halliday girl.
His partner. We thought so all along. And there's a fellow down in the servants' hall. I'll bet didn't know what a valet was till he came here. And whose valet is he? This McTodd fellow's.
And with my own ears, I heard the Halliday girl refuse to come in to listen to the reading. She was out on the terrace throughout the whole affair. Miss Simmons, we must act.
Yes, but not like idiots. You can't charge out and denounce these crooks where they sit. We've got to go carefully.
But they will smuggle the necklace away.
Not while I'm around. Suspicion's no good. We have to catch them with the goods. I'll start by searching that girl's room, then the valet fellow's room. And if the stuff isn't there, they'll have hidden it out in the open somewhere.
But this crook who poses as McTodd... He may have it all the while.
No, they wouldn't have had time to slip it to him yet. That necklace is somewhere right here.
Help! Help! Lord Emsworth! I'm locked out of the castle! Help me! Help!
That's it. McTodd, wake up, my dear fellow. McTodd?
Who? Oh, Lord Emsworth. Will you take a seat?
Extremely sorry to be obliged to wake you at 4 a.m, but the Secretary Baxter has gone off his head.
Oh, much?
He's out on the terrace in his pyjamas shouting. And he's throwing flower pots through my window.
Flower pots?
We started with pebbles, now flower pots.
Oh, flower pots. And what steps are you proposing to take, unless you wish him to continue throwing flower pots?
My dear fellow, I was hoping you might consent to go down and, having possibly armed yourself with a good stout stick, and induce him to desist and return to bed.
Help! Lord Emsworth!
Oh, it's you, McTodd.
In person. If I were you, I would use every effort to stave off this passion for flinging flower pots. Next time the craving comes on you, fight it. Fight it. Why, if I may venture the question...
Investigating. Suspicious flower pots. I wouldn't mind betting the necklace is in one of them. Got locked out. Pebbles up at the windows. No good.
Baxter! Then... Baxter!
I can explain everything, Lord Emsworth.
What?
I can explain everything.
Your face is dirty, Baxter, my dear fellow.
I was digging.
What?
Digging.
The terrier complex. What were you digging for?
What were you digging for?
I thought Lady Constance's necklace was in one of the flower pots. Under a geranium.
What?
What?
This is maddening. I'm going back to bed.
What did he say? Wait a minute. I'm coming down. Something about something being in a flower pot.
He said he thought that Lady Constance's necklace was in one of the flower pots.
What? Baxter thought my sister's necklace was in a flower pot?
So I understood him to say.
Well, why should Connie keep her necklace in a flower pot?
Ah, there you take me into deep waters. Although...
The man's mad. Stark staring mad. I thought so before, now I'm convinced of it. I must get rid of him. Even Connie couldn't blame me for dispensing with the services of a secretary who thinks she keeps her necklaces in flower pots and hurls them in at my bedroom window in the early dawn. Yes, get rid of him. Well, my dear fellow, I suppose we'd better be getting back to bed.
Of course. But for me, inspiration calls. I think I should get dressed and push off to that little nook in the woods and write a poem about something.
Oh, Lord.
Liz, I'm telling you, I was down there all right, but I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it? You couldn't find a bass drum in a telephone booth. You didn't look.
I did look. Honest, I did.
Well, the stuff was there. I threw it down the moment the lights went out.
Somebody must have got there first and swiped it.
Who could have got there first? Everybody was up in the room where I was.
Are you sure?
Am I sure? Am I... Tease it, Ed. Someone coming. Hide back into the tree.
Got it.
It's that McTodd imposter and Miss Halliday. Now, wait. Where was she? She... Oh, good morning, Mr. McTodd. I'm feeling so upset about this terrible affair. Aren't you, Miss Halliday?
Yes, I certainly am.
Well, we must look on the bright side. It was a pity that my reading last night had to be stopped at a cost of about £20,000 to the Keeble coffers. But let us not forget that but for that timely interruption, I should have gone on for about another hour.
I was dreadfully frightened, weren't you, Miss Halliday?
I wasn't there.
Miss Halliday sensibly decided not to go out of her way to get more of me than was absolutely necessary. But I can see that you wish to be alone. Come, Miss Halliday. I promise to show you my woodland idyll.
Ed?
Hello?
Did you hear that girl?
No.
She said she wasn't in the drawing room when those lights went out. Ed, she was down on the terrace. That's where she was, picking up the stuff. And if it isn't hidden somewhere in that McTodd shack down in the woods, I'll eat my Sunday boots.
Ugh, what a horrible-looking place. It certainly wants doing up a bit.
Will you take a look round and give out a few ideas?
Well, I don't think... Wait.
You were saying?
That flower pot.
Ah, you're admiring the geranium. I found it lying about on the terrace this morning and pinched it. I thought it would add a touch of colour. Actually, I'm a little disappointed in the thing.
Oh, it's beautiful. It only wants watering.
No water supply here.
You'd better give it to me. It's just what I want for my room.
Pray take it. Encouraging. It's well known that there is no surer sign of the dawning of the divine emotion, love, than this willingness to receive presents from the hands of the adorer. I make progress.
You do nothing of the kind. I must be going. I've got work to do.
Well, I will escort you back to your cell.
No, you won't. I mean, I want to be alone.
Alone? When you have the chance of being with me?
Goodbye. I'll try and find some cushions and stuff to brighten up the place.
Your presence does that adequately. I shall see you anon.
I expect so.
I will count the minutes.
Right, now. No. Gone. He's taken it. He's made a fool of me. I'm daring to pretend he's... All right. I shall be cleverer.
Hello there.
Oh, Freddy.
I say, beastly shame you aren't coming to the hop. They'll be driving off shortly.
I don't mind.
But I do, dash it. I've been trying out some new steps with the Victrola.
Well, there'll be plenty of other girls there for you to step on.
I don't want other girls, dash them. I want you.
But I'm only an employee here. I'm not invited.
That's what makes it so dashed sickening. It's like that picture I saw once. A modern Cinderella. I wish life was a bit more like the movies.
Well, it was enough like the movies last night when... Oh.
Anything up?
Freddy, listen. I met Mr. Keeble yesterday, and he told me how you and he had planned to steal Lady Constance's necklace.
Good Lord. Told you all about it?
It's all right. He asked me to steal the necklace too.
You? Was it you who got the thing last night?
Well, as it happened, yes, it was. By chance, but...
Little girl, there's no one I'd rather got that £1,000 than you.
Oh, be quiet. I didn't want Mr. Keeble to give me money. I just wanted to help Phyllis. She's my friend, and now...
Pals, partner. Pals till hell freezes.
What?
Subtitle from a thing called Prairie Nell, you know. Just happened across my mind.
Tell me, is Mr. McTodd going to the ball?
Eh? Why, yes, I suppose so.
Then listen. You know that little cottage in the West Wood?
What about it?
As soon as everybody has gone to the ball, you and I are going to burgle it.
What?
Burgle it. Listen to me. This man who calls himself McTodd is not McTodd at all. He's a thief. He stole the jewels from me last night. I'd picked them up and hidden them in a flower pot. It's got a splash of white paint on it. I identified the mark. But they're not in there any longer. I'm pretty sure he's got them in his cottage.
But I say...
When he has gone to the ball, you and I will go and search till we find them.
Do you really think he's got the necklace?
I know he has.
Well, it's the best thing that could have happened, because I got him here to pinch it for Uncle Joe.
What?
Absolutely. I roped him in by way of a gang.
You mean passing himself off as Mr. McTodd?
Well, no. He was coming here as McTodd anyway, as far as I can gather. But before that, I asked him to pinch the necklace.
Then he's a friend of yours?
I wouldn't say that exactly. But he told me he was a great pal of Phyllis and her husband.
Was that before or after you had told him why you wanted the necklace stolen?
Let me think. After.
Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, to start with, I told Uncle Joe I would pinch the necklace and slip it to him for £1,000.
Yes.
Then I saw this advertisement in the paper.
What advertisement?
An advertisement saying if anybody wanted anything done. So I went up and met him at the Piccadilly Palace. Code stuff. There'll be rain in Northumberland tomorrow. And the reply, good for the crops. Worked. Only I had to dash off in the middle. Practically all I said was, will you pinch my aunt's necklace? Never thought I'd see the man again. But when I got into the 5 o'clock train, I missed the 12:50. There he was. And the governor suddenly trickled in and introduced him as McTodd the poet. Then the governor legged it, and this chap told me he was only pretending to be McTodd.
Did you ask him why?
He wouldn't tell me. And then he asked me why I wanted him to pinch Aunt Connie's necklace. So I told him all about Phyllis. And it was then he said he'd been a pal of hers, and her husband's, for years. So we fixed it up that he was to swipe the necklace and hand it over. Said he didn't want any money.
Why should he, when he was going to get £20,000 worth of diamonds and keep them? Oh, I should have thought even you would have seen through him.
Oh, yes, but he seems such a dashed matey sort of bird. I like the fella. You liked him too.
I hate him. And if I let him get away with that necklace and cheat poor little Phyllis out of her money, I'll...
You know, I don't mind missing that county ball a bit. Honestly, all kidding aside, do you think love might someday awaken...
We shall want a lamp, of course.
Eh?
A lamp to see with when we're in the cottage. Can you get one?
A lamp? Oh, yes. Yeah, rather.
Get two and meet me here after everybody has gone to the ball.
I say, you are wonderful. Well, the bally thing isn't here.
But this isn't the only room in the house.
Think he might have hidden the stuff upstairs?
Or downstairs.
I mean to say, there isn't any downstairs.
There's the cellar. Take your lamp and go and have a look.
I don't think the chap would hide a necklace in the cellar. I vote we try upstairs.
Don't be silly, Freddy. He may have hidden it anywhere.
Well, to be absolutely honest, I'd much rather not go into any bally cellar.
Why ever not?
Beetles. Always had a horror of beetles, ever since I was a kid.
Oh, all right, I'll go down. You go and look upstairs.
I say, sure you don't mind?
Oh, it's not down there. Freddy, are you...
Good evening.
What? Where's Freddy?
It was nice of you to look in. Won't you sit down? On the sofa, perhaps, or would you prefer a brick?
Where is Mr. Threepwood?
Upstairs. I've put him in storage for a while. He's under the impression that if he stirs out, he'll be instantly shot.
Oh.
I take it you would prefer to dispense with the usual formalities. I'll park my revolver on the mantelpiece while we chat. I've taken a curious dislike to the thing, anyway.
Will you please tell me your name?
Ronald. Ronald Eustace.
I suppose you have a surname? Or an alias?
You seem to imply that I am some sort of criminal.
There is not much sense in pretending now, is there? What is your name?
Smith. The peer's silent.
What? But, well, Mr. Smith, I imagine you understand why I'm here.
To do the place up a bit? Frankly, I preferred it the way it was before. Haven't you rather unduly stressed the bazaar note, this soot, this dead bat, somebody's mother?
I have come to get that necklace.
Ah, the necklace.
I'm going to get it, too.
There, if you will pardon me, I take issue with you. I assume that Frederick Threepwood has enlisted your services. I regret to inform you that his motives are not pure. I had better explain how I come to be guarding a diamond necklace which does not belong to me.
Yes, please.
Our mutual friend, Mr. Keeble, Miss Halliday, has a stepdaughter who is married to one Jackson, who is my best friend. Well, the Jackson family is rather badly up against it at present.
I don't believe a word of it. You had never heard of Phyllis before Freddy spoke about her in the train.
Believe me.
I won't. Freddy got you down here to help him steal that necklace and give it to Mr. Keeble so that he could help Phyllis. And now you're trying to keep it for yourself.
Is everybody in this little plot?
Mr. Keeble asked me to steal the necklace too.
Oh, I sprang to the conclusion that Threepwood was endeavouring to double-cross both myself and the Keeble by getting hold of the necklace with a view to retaining it for his own benefit. Never occurred to me that he might be crediting me with the same sinful guile.
Just a moment. Mr. Smith, is this really true? Are you really a friend of Phyllis?
She looks on me as a grandfather. Are you a friend of hers?
We were at school together.
Well, this makes us all seem like one great big family.
But I never heard Phyllis speak about you.
Possibly she omitted to confess she was accustomed to hobnobbing with a friend in the fish business.
Good gracious. Smith! Fish business! Why, it was you who called at Phyllis's house while I was there, just before I came down here. I remember Phyllis saying how sorry she was that we had not met. She said you were just my sort of... I mean...
Made for each other. Well, we both have a taste for stealing other people's jewellery. Twin souls.
Don't be silly. Where is the necklace?
It's in this case of stuffed birds.
The one place we didn't think of looking.
Here it is.
Oh. Aren't they beautiful?
Distinctly. I think I may say that of all the jewels I've ever stolen...
Hey, hands up!
Attaboy, Ed. I'll take the necklace.
No funny business, you two.
I would be the last person to advocate anything of the sort. Mm. Miss Halliday, this is Mr. Coutts, of whom you've heard so much. Miss Peavy.
Hello.
Miss Peavy, I thought...
What I think Miss Halliday is trying to say is that she imagined you were a poetess.
Well, so I am a poetess. Come on, Ed. No sense in sticking around here.
Let's tie these birds up, otherwise we'll have them squealing before I can make a getaway.
Ed, they can't squeal without telling everyone they snitched the stuff first.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Then don't come butting in.
I cordially agree. The man is an ass.
Say, if there wasn't ladies present, I'd bust you once.
Ed, shut your trap.
Pardon me, but are you two married?
Huh?
You seem to talk to him like a wife. Am I addressing Mrs. Coutts?
You will be if you stick around a while.
Congratulations. I'm thinking of getting married myself shortly. Give me that gun. No funny business, Mr. Coutts.
All right, the war's over.
Miss Peavy, I must trouble you to hand over that necklace.
Try and get it.
No, I had always gathered that on these occasions the wishes of the man behind the gun were automatically respected.
I'm walking straight out of here with this collection of ice right now, and I bet you won't have the nerve to shoot a woman, not you.
Your psychology is correct. Except I shall shoot. Not you, but Comrade Coutts. Huh? Possibly merely in the leg, but I am a poor shot, and at least you will have the consolation of knowing that I meant well.
Hey, give me that necklace, Liz. You can have it.
I thank you.
Well, guess we'll be going. Come on, Chowderhead.
Coming, Liz.
So, that's that.
You have a very happy gift of phrase.
Well... Fancy Miss Peavy being a thief.
I confess I found myself almost warming to Miss Peavy.
So you're going to be married?
I think so. What do you think?
Yes, I think so too. Shall I tell you something?
You could tell me nothing more wonderful than that.
You were wonderful just now.
But the foundations were laid by Threepwood. Had it not been for the timely incursion of his leg...
Good gracious! Freddy! I'd forgotten all about him. We must hand him the necklace so he can deliver it to Mr. Keeble.
I'll go and let him out at once.
No. No, not yet. No. He can wait a little.
I think you must be mad, Clarence.
Baxter's mad. He threw flower pots at me.
Mr. Baxter has explained the whole thing to me. His behaviour was perfectly excusable.
I don't like the fellow.
You'll be helpless without him.
I've come to say goodbye, Lady Constance. The car is at the door.
Oh, Mr. Baxter.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Lord Emsworth.
Yeah. Goodbye, my dear fellow. I mean, goodbye. I hope you'll have a pleasant journey.
Thank you.
But, Mr. Baxter, surely, even now, talk it all over quietly.
Connor.
I fear it is too late. My arrangements are already made. Until now, a mistaken sense of loyalty has kept me from accepting other offers. But this morning, I telegraphed an American millionaire, Mr. Jevons, to say that I was at liberty and could join him at once. It is too late now to cancel this promise.
Oh, yes, certainly. Quite. Mustn't dream of it, my dear fellow.
Oh, Mr. Oh, Clarence. Clarence!
Lord
Emsworth.
I have a most important conference with McAllister.
Lord Emsworth, I think it my duty to say before I go...
No, my dear fellow, quite understand. That matter of the flower pots, let's forget the whole affair.
I had no intention of referring to the matter. I merely wish...
Yes, of course. Some other time, that will be capital.
Well, if you're not interested in the fact that Blandings Castle is sheltering a criminal...
What? Sheltering a criminal?
Yes. I must go now, or I shall miss my train. I was merely going to tell you that this fellow who calls himself Ralston McTodd is not Ralston McTodd at all.
Not Ralston McTodd? But he said he was. I remember distinctly, he said he was McTodd.
He is an imposter. I imagine you will find that it is he and his accomplices who stole Lady Constance's necklace.
But my dear fellow...
It can easily be proved. Get this so-called McTodd to write his name down, and then compare it with the signature which the real McTodd wrote when accepting Lady Constance's invitation. You will find it filed away in that desk there.
What?
I will leave you to take what steps you please. But I thought you might be glad to hear the facts.
Oh, I am. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Goodbye.
Baxter, my dear fellow.
Oh, good morning, Lord Emsworth. I'm looking for Miss Halliday. You haven't seen her by any chance.
Eh?
There she is, down there on the terrace. Hello there.
Oh, hello there.
I'm glad to see you, Lord Emsworth, that the morning is so fine that Miss Halliday has given toil the miss. It is the right spirit.
Oh, yes. Now, look here, McTodd.
I'm surprised to find you indoors on so glorious a morning.
No, that is to say...
You're observing?
I have just parted from Baxter.
Indeed.
Yeah, Baxter has gone.
Forever?
Yeah. But before he went, he made a most remarkable charge. Well, in short, a very strange statement about you.
I'd been expecting something of the kind. He said, no doubt, that I was not really Ralston McTodd.
Yes.
I've been meaning to tell you about that. It's quite true. I am not Ralston McTodd.
But you admit it?
I am proud of it.
Then what the deuce? I mean, say... If you aren't McTodd, why did you come here saying you were McTodd?
Well, primarily, I want no thanks, but I did it to save you embarrassment.
Save me?
Precisely. When I came into the coffee room of our mutual club that afternoon, I found Mr. McTodd on the point of passing out of your life forever. It seems he had taken some sort of umbrage and, well, he legged it, leaving you short one modern poet. On your return, I stepped into the breach to save you from having to return here without a McTodd of any description. Of course, I was a poor substitute, a sort of synthetic McTodd, but still, better than nothing, so I came along.
Are you a member of the Senior Conservative Club?
Most certainly.
Why then, dash it, if you're a member of the Senior Conservative, you can't be a criminal. Baxter's an ass.
Exactly.
Baxter would have it that you'd stolen my sister's necklace.
I can assure you that I've not got Lady Constance's necklace.
Of course not, dear fellow. I'm only telling you what that idiot Baxter said. Oh, thank goodness I've got rid of him. Though, confounded, Connie was right about one thing.
Yes?
Yeah?
Lady Constance had been right about one thing?
Oh, yes. She was saying I should have a hard time finding another secretary as capable as Baxter.
Well, if you'd care to accept my services, they are at your disposal.
Eh?
The fact is, I'm shortly to be married, and it is more or less imperative that I connect with some employment which will ensure a moderate competence.
You want to be my secretary?
You have unravelled my meaning exactly.
I've never had a married secretary.
I think that you would find a steady married man an improvement on these wild flowerpot-throwing bachelors. If it would help, I may say that my bride-to-be is Miss Halliday, probably the finest library cataloguist in the United Kingdom.
Miss Halliday? That girl down there?
No other. In fact, the same.
But I like her.
Excellent.
Would you think you could really look after things here?
I'm convinced of it.
Oh, my dear fellow, really, I must say, why shouldn't you?
Precisely.
But have you had any experience as a secretary?
I must admit that I have not. My name, perhaps I ought to reveal to you, is Smith, the Peer Silent. You may have heard of the house which was for many years the Smith headquarters, Corfby Hall.
Corfby Hall? Are you the son of that Smith, who lost all his money? Why, bless my soul, I knew your poor father well.
Really?
Yes. Well, that is to say, I never met him.
No?
But I won first prize for roses at the Shrewsbury Flower Show the year he won for tulips.
It seems to draw us very close together.
But dear boy, if you're really looking for a position of some kind, who would care to be my secretary, nothing could suit me better.
I am extremely obliged. And surely, if a mere Baxter could hold down the job, it should be well within the scope of a Shropshire Smith. And now, if you'll excuse me, I think I will go down and impart the glad news.
Oh, I say, McTodd, Smith, just the fellow I wanted to see.
Well, make it snappy, Threatwood, for I will be elsewhere.
I say, it's all right, you know.
Excellent, splendid. That is great news. What's all right?
I've just seen Uncle Joe. Jules received with thanks. He's coughing up. I shall make a pile.
I congratulate you.
And you remember my telling you about Miss Halliday, that I loved her and all that?
Ah, yes.
Well, between ourselves, the whole trouble has been that she thought I hadn't any money to get married on. She didn't actually say it in so many words, but you know how it is. So now I can simply go to her and say, well, What about it? And well, and so on, don't you know?
Threepwood, I see your reasoning. I can detect but one flaw in it.
Flaw? What flaw?
The fact that Miss Halliday is going to marry me.
What?
Be a man, Threepwood. Bite the bullet. And now, I have man's work before me. Oh, and by the way, there'll be rain in Northumberland tomorrow.
Eh?
Good for the crops.
In the second and final episode of Leave It to Smith by P.G. Woodhouse, dramatized by Archie Scottney, Smith was played by Edward Bennett, Freddie Threepwood by George Blagden, and Eve Halliday by Susanna Fielding. Constance was played by Patricia Hodge, Baxter, Joe Bannister, and Lord Emsworth, Martin Jarvis. Joe Keeble, Nigel Anthony, Beach, Lloyd Owen, Detective Simmons, Lucy Phelps, Eddie Coots, Kieran Hodgson, and Liz, alias Miss Peavy, Lisa Dillon. Other parts were played by Daisy Hayden, Matthew Wolfe, and Darren Richardson. Leave It to Smith was directed by Rosalind Ayres and Martin Jarvis, and is a Jarvis and Ayres production.